As I read this passage, one thing I get out of it is wealthy does not equate with God's favor, and poverty and suffering does not equate to God's disfavor. So I was thinking about that. When this story was brought up, it kind of flipped the script. It kind of changed the way people thought. In those days, a lot of people thought if you had wealth and you were well off and you were doing good, it's because God was blessing you. And if you were sick or you were hurting or you were in pain, it was because of your sins. It was because of your family sins. It was something you did. So this story changes the way we think. So I would like to get a little bit more personal with this. So let's look at our lives. And we'll use my life for an example, if that's all right. So I was thinking about all the stuff that I do, all the stuff that is important to me. So for the, some of you know, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I like the Bills, even though they don't like me much. They lose a lot over the years. I'm also an Oakland A's fan. I like the A's, and I like baseball. I even like the Dodgers. I love to bowl. Every Tuesday night, I bowl. I also love to read. I do a book club every once in a while. I also like to watch TV. I like to watch the Hallmark Channel and reality TV shows. And I also like to watch SportsCenter. So, and another thing is I like music. I like music. Probably one of my albums over here. That I like music, like to listen to music. But I thought about, I also love to teach kids. I also like to teach kids about God and to teach kids. And I also love God. But as I look at all my stuff here, there's no room for God here. And that's the way it is in our life. Wouldn't you say sometimes in our life, we get busy with everything. We get obsessed with everything that's important to us. Everything that fills our time. How much time are we leaving for God? Am I letting these rule my life? Like William said last week, he says we can only serve one master. And he talked about how we don't own this stuff that we have, that we are just managing it. But if we're not careful, we can get obsessed with it and it becomes our life. And it's almost like I'm worshiping it. So it kind of reminds me of this story by a man named C.S. Lewis. And no, it's not the Chronicles of Narnia. It's a book called The Great Divorce. And The Great Divorce is a book, and there's these kind of ghosts, spirits. And there's the Grey Town, which is kind of like hell or purgatory. And then there's heaven. And the people from Greytown get to take a bus. And I don't think C.S. Lewis is saying when you die, you get to change your mind. I don't think that's what he's saying. So they go and they take the bus to the outskirts of heaven. And then at the end of it, seeing everything, they get back on the bus and they go back. That sounds kind of odd, right? If you had a chance to stay in heaven, wouldn't you? But they are so full of their pride, of all their vices, they don't want to let go. They made the choice to not follow God. They made the choice to put their stuff above him. Do we do that in our life sometimes? Think about that. So I was also thinking about the rich man. Is it wrong to have money? Is it wrong to have means? And it's the thing, no, there's plenty of times people in the Bible, like Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and others, that use their means to help in Jesus' ministry. So it's not wrong to have there. It's all in how we manage it, how we use our wealth. And I was also thinking about Lazarus. He's the only name mentioned in the story. That's interesting. We don't know the rich man's name. So why is it important for us to know Lazarus' name? I think it's important to know Lazarus' name because God wants us to know the names of people that are hurting. God wants us to know the name of people that are less fortunate than us. Because isn't it harder to ignore somebody when you know them? Isn't it harder to not help when you know the name of somebody and you know them personally? And I was reminded by someone between the services that times are different now. It was obvious who was hurting and who was poor in those days. But we don't know that now. We don't know who's suffering. So we should approach everything with God's love. Everybody, everything with love is the way we should be approaching things. So it brings me to a verse I like from 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. And if we truly love because he first loved us, what does that look like? What does that mean? Does it mean that when we have time, we help? When we have time, we show love? Or should it be the main focus of what we're doing? Should it be at the center of our life? So I was thinking, that Jesus shared God's love. He listened to people. He also challenged people. He showed compassion in everything he did. He just didn't sit and life wasn't just breezy easy for him. He suffered. He put others before him. Do we do that? Do we suffer for God? Does that mean that we have to be in horrible pain? No, I don't think so. And we will suffer sometimes. But I think God wants us to be a little uncomfortable. God wants us to be always thinking about how we can further what he taught us and how we can love others the way he loved us. Also want to bring up a point from verse 24. It says, so he called to him, Father Abram, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. Do we get like the rich man here? Even when we know things are going wrong, he still is high and mighty and still wants basically someone to wait on him. Do we get so busy in our lives that we don't realize the consequences that we have for others? Do we get so wrapped up in our own lives that we don't care about others? Another thing that was stuck out to me is he wants to save his brothers. He says, send someone down to go tell my brothers. And they said, even if someone rises from the dead, it won't matter. You didn't listen the first time. But did we have someone rise from the dead? We did Jesus. And because of that, our lives should be changed. Our lives should look different. We should not be the center of them. God should be. And if God is the center of our lives, God, we should be loving others. We should be helping others. Another thing I want to think about is Lazarus in heaven. He's not hurting anymore. He's not suffering anymore. And that's one thing as Christians we have to look forward to, right? When we're in heaven, we're not going to be suffering anymore. We might suffer now. We might have our own stuff, but we're not going to be suffering anymore. So my call to you guys is to remember that God loves us. And because of that, we should love others. And what that should look like, it should be a main focus of our life. Not just a side thing, a little space that I can just fit God in, which I'm very guilty of that. We just get busy and we get focused on our life and we forget, because most of us wouldn't consider ourselves rich, but we wouldn't consider ourselves poor either. But we are rich in God's love, and we should share that love with others. Amen.